5 and verse 16, we're actually going to do a review of the things that we've covered this year. We're going to give you a snippet of each one, and you're going to take a self-test today. You're going to see how you fared on some of these things, or how you fared not on some of these things. Matthew 5, and we'll briefly go over probably the first three topics that we talked about. Then the next week, probably talk about the next three, and then until we get done. But there's only, I think, of major topics, one, two, three, four, five, I think only about seven. Now, the Beatitudes don't count in that because that was part of a major topic. So today we're going to see what you learned and what you did not learn and what you need to study over Christmas break. Amen. So by the new year, you can say, amen, I have arrived. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. We'll read down to verse number 16. How many of your Bibles fell open to that automatically? It should have. Amen. Next year, we're going to be in Psalms for the Soul. So there'll be different psalms that we'll be looking at. We'll start out with Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Got a surprise with that as well. I'll let you know about in the new year. I'm not going to tell you now. But I'll let you know in the new year. 5:13. Everybody there say amen? Amen. Any omies? And by the way, little G2 got a chance to preach yesterday at the men's devotion. He was just absolutely excited. Where's Devin at? He took Devin's spot. He said, if Devin doesn't show up, can I take his spot? And because he knew Devin had the exercise. Devin didn't show up. And man, he tell you, he got in here and he preached. And encouraged my heart. Amen. Seeing that young little guy out there. Amen. He said, I sound like you, didn't I, Dad? No, you sound better than me. Amen. Matthew 5:13. Read with me down to verse 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. That has been the goal throughout this year. We want people to see our light that we have, and we want to shine God's light with all of our might. And the different views that we looked at throughout this year, and we're going to kind of capsulize most of that into some brief snippets and challenge your heart on each one of those specific messages. You may not have been here on that particular day of that particular message, or you may not have heard that, but just want to kind of rekindle that fire and let you know where we have visited, scripturally speaking, and what God is trying to do in your life to enable you to shine and to shine better and to shine brightly for the glory of God. At the end of the day, it's all about verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our goal is to get men to see Jesus in us. That's the goal. And he allows us to do some great things and some good things so that people can see him and be drawn to him. You know, Jesus, most of the miracles that he did them so men could be drawn to him, so that he'd give them the gospel, they'd get saved. Amen. He didn't just do miracles for any just to do a miracle. He did a miracle to show people that he was God. He was able to forgive their sins and heal them. Amen. Our good works ought to be the same thing, to give glory to God by attracting people to the Savior. Father, thank you for this morning, God, as we look at some reviews that we have studied throughout this year. I pray that there be something that would strike a nerve in our hearts that we say, yes, I'm doing that. I need to continue that into the new year. Then maybe there's some things in this review. Someone may say, yes, that's something that I have failed to do, that I need to do. Or there may be some things that someone may say today, yes, that's something that I used to do that I'm no longer doing, and I need to rekindle that fire. Lord, whatever it is, whatever place a person may be today, may they sense your leading. May they sense the Spirit's prompting. Lord, may may they truly sense that you're pulling and tugging at their heart to shine brighter and greater than they've ever shined before. Or this is no time for us to get dim just because it's winding down the year. Our light should be getting brighter because of the information that we've received from the Word of God and the fuel of the Holy Spirit of God. Our light should be burning brighter because we've learned more about you this year than we learned last year. Lord, so as a result, we should effectively leave here shining brighter and greater. Oh, Lord, may we not let Satan put it out as the children sing, but may we let it shine. May we not let anything happen to our light, but may we let it shine, and let it shine. Well, thank you so much for this day. Maybe there's someone today that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl. Jesus is still the reason for the season, and he's still why we do what we do. And Lord, I pray that when it's all said and done, that you would get that praise, that honor, and that glory. Blessed now through the message and the song that Mrs. Dawson will sing, and then the message from the scriptures that we will preach, that our hearts may be attentive, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson is going to sing.
About God's son. it's about the cross.
Sitting over there listening to Miss Dawson sing that song. I forgot to put my mic on. Amen. Well, amen. It is about the cross. Amen. Before there could be a cross, though, there had to be a cradle, and that's what Christmas is all about. And Jesus went from the cradle to the cross. Amen. And in the meantime, he came to encourage men, women, boys, and girls to get saved. Amen. And it's amazing how Jesus really didn't go to the popular. He didn't go to the prominent. He didn't go to those that had places of position. He went to the poor. He went to the needy. He went to those that actually saw their need for a Savior. Amen. Rich folks oftentimes think their money is their God, and so he didn't go to them. The Pharisees had the religion as their God, so he didn't go to them. But they, too, had the opportunity to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're thankful that we have a God who is fair across the board. Amen. Where there is much to consider. Now, if I went through everything and preached everything that I went through throughout this year, we'd be here for the next year. Amen. So we're not going to do that. Amen. But we are going to go back and look at some things. And let me give you seven of the things that we discussed. We discussed shining God's light with all of our might with a going away view. And we're going to start with that this morning. And then we looked at shining God's light with all our might with a ministerial view. We looked at that. Shining God's light with all of our might with an individual view. We looked at that. And then shining God's light with all our might with a world view. We saw that. Then we saw shining God's light with all our might with a clear view. And then we saw shining God's light with all our might with a household view. And that's where we contain the Beatitudes. And then number seven, shining God's light with all our might with a manward view. And you say, preacher, you just mentioned seven. We have 52 weeks in the year. It seemed like you preached a whole lot more messages than that, amen. And I did, amen. Some were two-part messages, some were three-part messages, some were four. And the one on the household view is actually a nine-part message. And so when you do the math, you add those up, it comes up to a lot of messages, amen. And so I do trust that the review will be a blessing to you. And if you weren't here, ask somebody what I said in regards to that message. Because you say, well, he only said a little bit. What was the rest of that message about? Amen. Amen. You got to go back and get the tape. Amen. Or the CD. Amen. I don't have tapes anymore. Brother Hall does have a tape, though. You know, Brother Hall's one of the few guys he wanted to hear the message that he got saved off of. And I said, well, brother, I said, that's going to be difficult. I said, because it's on cassette tape. I said, not many people have cassette decks. Amen. And so, believe it or not, the message that he got saved off of is the same message that I'm going to preach in the beginning of the year, Psalm 121. And he got saved off of a part of that series. And so praise God. He said, do you remember what you preached on that day? I said, I don't have a clue, brother. I said, but let's look in the archive. Amen. We went to looking back in the archive and I saw Psalm 121. I said, brother, I'm going to be preaching at the beginning of the year. He said, well, I want to hear it. Which day was I there on? And we looked at it. Okay, you were here on this day. And I said, well, I got to be warn you that it's not going to sound the same as it did when you got saved. Because the Holy Spirit was doing a special work in your life. And by the way, I often think of the sermon that I got saved off on, when the parable of the sower. And, if I heard that sermon again, it probably would not affect me the same way. Because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me in such a way that day, drawing me. And so Brother Hall has that sermon. Brother, did you get a chance to listen to it yet? Got to find a cassette deck. They're hard to come by these days. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to start this review process here and look at some of these things. You know, in the beginning of the year, when I start, and by the way, normally when God gives me the theme for the year, he normally gives it to me in a setting that, I'm just praying and meditating about what to do. And the Psalm 121 and the Psalms for the Soul came to me while I was in my cast, Pastor White. Meditating and thinking and praying and studying. And God said, you know what? You need some soothing to your soul. Why don't you do the Psalms next year? And that came to me, and the song came to me, My Help. And so that's going to be the theme song that the choir is going to be doing next year. And I'm thankful for that. But Matthew came to me last year when I was just meditating about us.
as a church, and our yearning to shine God's light and our yearning to be brighter as we reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, and just that desire. And we were driving just home the other day, and I told G2, I said, look at the moon up there. And I said, beautiful, isn't it? And he said, yeah, it is. And I said, son, I said, does the moon have light? He said, oh, no, Dad, the moon just reflects light. I said, praise God. I said, where'd you learn that at? Of course, every time he learned something, I'll say, where'd you learn that at? And he's got to say school because he doesn't like admitting that he learned it in school. And he said, in school. But it dawned on me, we're supposed to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. The same way the moon sits up there and reflects the light from the sun, you and I are reflecting. By the way, when there's a full moon, doesn't it give off a lot of light?
Yes, sir, it does.
I mean, it lights up your windows, it lights up everything, and you can actually see very well outside at night just from a reflection of the sun that's not even shining on the earth. It's shining on the moon. And you put that on the spiritual realm. The Bible says ye are the light of the world. When the light of Jesus Christ is shining on us, people ought to see that reflection. They ought to see it in everything we think, say, and do. And the moment that we are not reflecting that light, we can honestly say there's some cloudy days. And some clouds are covering that light because people should be able to see that light. The only time you can't see the sunlight because it's always shining is when there are clouds covering it. Or if it's on the other side of the earth, amen? But it is always shining. So one of the first things that we started out with in this, and I think was probably the most crucial of all the messages. Anybody remember what that first one was? Will ye also go away? I think that was the most crucial message. And I told you up front that it was going to be the most crucial message. And I told you in the beginning of the year, look around you. I said, I guarantee you by the year's end, there will be somebody that is here now that will not be here at the end of the year. Now, I'm not prophesying and being a prognosticator or any of those things. That's just the reality of the local church. It's just a reality. I knew there would be someone that something would cause them to go away. Now, did I know who it would be? Didn't have a clue. Like I said, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a preacher. But I can tell you that if we don't maintain our light, that there will be some of us that will go away. And so with that said, go back to John chapter 6, because this is where we started at. And we're going to review this very quickly as we go through some of these. John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to the multitude of people, and I began to let you know that this was a challenge to the church crowd. John chapter number 6. And as we look at the review of what we talked about in shining God's light with all of our might, I encouraged us as God's people. I said, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to get past this challenge that went out to the church crowd. Verse number 60, Jesus is preaching to the multitude here that came back to get a handout. And he told them that he was the bread of life and that they had to ingest him in verse 48. They didn't understand that. They thought he was speaking carnally. Then notice verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, these were his followers, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? They say, you know what? We don't understand that. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And he began to talk about that. He said, you really can't come to me unless Jesus, my Father, draw you by the Spirit anyway. But some of them were offended by what he said. And so he expected that. These were not the disciples. These were not the 12 chosen. These were just followers of his that were there. Notice verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples, that's that crowd that came with him, went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then said Jesus also unto the 12. Now he's going face to face with the 12, going face to face with the ones he handpicked, going face to face with the faithful, going face to face with those that were with him through thick and thin, going face to face with the most faithful. I'm not talking about the morning glories. I'm talking about the Sunday school crowd. I'm talking about the Sunday night crowd. I'm talking about the Wednesday crowd. I'm talking about the soul winning crowd. He's talking about that crowd. He turned to the 12 and said, will ye also go away. And that was the first message that I challenged you with way back in the beginning of the year. And I said, there will be something that's going to cause you to want to go away from God. Go away from his local church. Go away from God's people. And if you're not careful, it'll happen. And I made that comment early on in the year. Again, may I add that Jesus is not just speaking to anybody. This is Peter. This is James. This is John. This is Bartholomew. This is Nathaniel. This is the crowd. This is James. This is John. That's that crowd, the 12. He says, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I mentioned that Peter had the right words. And oftentimes we have the right words. Now, I guarantee you, if I took a poll right now, how many of you, when you heard that sermon, said, it'll never happen to me? I bet we all said, it'll never happen to me. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And so the minute you raise your hand and say, I'll never do it, you line up with Peter. We all know what happened to Peter, right? After making this statement, denied the Lord three times. He said, I go a fishing. Took several disciples with him. That same Peter who made that statement. So never say never, because you never know. Then he says, and we believe, speaking for all of them, and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Jesus said, you know, I chose you all, and I know all of you aren't with this, Peter. You may use the term we, Peter. You may say all of us, Peter, but guess what? One of you is a devil. Can you imagine what Peter might have felt on the inside? Jesus, you must be joking. Why would you pick a devil? Jesus, why would you pick a devil? You want righteous people to serve you, and he does. But he also knew what Judas would do. One of them is the devil. And I mentioned this as we talked about that. The challenge to the church crowd is this. Many will hear that. And you won't go away physically, bodily. But you'll go away mentally. And so whilst you're here, you're not here. What am I saying? I'm up here preaching, Pastor White's up here preaching, or anybody else can be up here preaching, and you're sitting there, and you're here physically, but you're not here mentally. Nobody just ups and goes away just like that. It's a process. First of all, you go away mentally in your mind, and then you begin to go away spiritually, because you were never here mentally to get what you needed to get spiritually, and then physically, you make an exit out of a conscious choice. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's how it works. People don't just up and leave. There's something mentally that happens first whilst you sit. Because if you don't make a conscious effort to think, your mind will take you. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Say amen.
Amen, Pastor Dawson.
Your mind will take you on the football game. It'll take you on the cantata tonight. It'll take you on the patch program tonight. It'll take you on the food tonight. It'll take you on who's ever playing football tomorrow night. It'll take you to how Chicago's going to lose tomorrow night. Amen. Take you on all sorts of things. I'm going to be a prophet, though, and say, they will not lose by much. They have let me down this year.
Amen,
G2 said, Daddy, don't worry. I'm going to get bigger and I'm going to be the quarterback. Said, son, they need help now. They can't wait till you get up there. Amen. What am I saying? It can be something that can cause you to go away while you're sitting here mentally. And as you're mentally detached, spiritually, the word of God is still going out and it's falling on deaf ears. And then mentally, while you're being detached, the devil is filtering in something else that you don't need to hear. And so while you're mentally detached, carnally, he's filtering something in that you don't need to hear. And he says something like this. What your thoughts are more important than what Pastor's talking about right now. Your thoughts are much more important. He's going to say the same thing next time anyway. You heard that already. He don't need that. He don't need to be saying that right now. You already know that. Don't listen to him. He'll say the same thing next week and the week after that. There's another message for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
That's what he says. And the very thing that you need to hear to keep you mentally and spiritually prepared, you have not heard because you let your guard down. Mm-hmm. You're giving place to the devil.
Yes, sir.
You haven't submitted to God because you're not even listening for God. Preacher, but you're just a man. But I'm speaking for God, and I'm speaking God's word. And anytime that happens, and mentally you allow your guards and your defenses to go down, carnally you will enter into the realm of carnality, and you're not thinking spiritually anymore. And so mentally, spiritually, you're not where you need to be. Carnally, you are where you ought not be. And guess what? There you go. You make an exit. And so that's why Jesus says, will ye also go away? He knew those disciples could easily get carried away. By the way, several of them did, to include Judas Iscariot. And I told you in the beginning of the year that that was the most important message that I was going to preach, because I knew there would be somebody that would fall prey to that. And as a result of falling prey to that, they will go away. And I mentioned that we can go away in our minds and still be here. We're here bodily and physically, but our minds spiritually, we're wandering. The psalmist had to say, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Why? He was wise enough to know that, God, I'm prone to wander. Hey, all we like what? Sheep have gone astray. We've turned what? Every man to his own way. We go our own way. We're like sheep. You say, preacher, I'm not a sheep. Well, you'd rather be a goat? That's worse. I'd rather be a sheep any day. Because he said the sheep going to be on my right hand, the goat's going to be on my left hand. They are out there. I don't mind being a sheep, being a dumb and defenseless and going out doing my own thing. I don't mind being a sheep because I got a loving shepherd. Hallelujah. I got a loving shepherd who cares for his sheep. Amen. And he comes looking for his own. Amen. He's not looking for no goats. He's coming looking for the sheep. And when he comes looking for the sheep, he knows that they're not the smartest animals. He knows they're not the wisest. He knows they like to wander. He knows they're prone to wander. And he gets after him. He says, come on back over here. I like that. You don't find a goat herder doing that, do you? The shepherd goes after his sheep. What did I say? I said we could be going away in our minds and not notice. But then after we go away in our minds, we go away in our methods. And we have more technology but less spirituality. With the amount of apps that we have, there should be not one of us that should be spiritually ignorant. I mean, there's an app for everything. There really is. I mean, I watch my wife with her phone sometimes. She does stuff with that phone that I didn't know it could do. And I'm thinking, man, and she don't even have a smartphone. What do we call it? iPhone? It is a smartphone. Okay, it is a smartphone. I got a dumb phone then. I got one of those smartphones, but, you know, it doesn't help when you're not a smart operator. Amen. But that thing, she works some stuff on that, and I think, man, she said, yours can do that stuff too. But yeah, but you got to learn how to do that stuff first. Amen. What am I saying? We have more technology, but less spirituality. With all the devices and all the apps out there, there should be spirituality aplenty.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Do you know what I found? We got more technology and less spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, Pastor.
Exactly. Now, why is it that Bible time people who had less technology were more spiritual than we are? Amen. They amen. They had the book. They got in the book. They didn't rely on technology. Why? Because when technology goes out, you still have the book. Got to have the book. Amen. Got to have the Bible. And so we talked about many are going to go in their minds. Many were going to go in their methods. And then once that happened, you would go away in your mentality. And we talked about how there's less witnessing for souls, but yet there's more souls perishing. We talked about how there's less prayerfulness, but more carelessness. Amen. If you don't pray, guess what? You will stray. Just a fact. Just a fact. What's going to keep you on track? Amen. We have less abandonment of self and more contentment with self. There are many people that think they're okay. And what did I say? I said, you're going to be here and you're going to hear the preaching and you're going to be not attentive to it. And mentally, you're going to stray. And then physically, you will go away.
Amen.
That's just the way it goes. I'm sure all of us can think of someone that was on our right side or our next, our right, or on our left side or in front of us or in the back of us that was here in the early parts of the year but aren't here now. But praise God, I'm glad there's some folks that are here that were not here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That means somebody's doing some soul winning. By the way, we all ought to reproduce ourselves. If everybody went and got one person in 2015, guess what? We would double in size. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Can I challenge you to do that? Target someone and say, I'm going to work on that brother. I'm going to work on that sister. Hey, I'm still working on my neighbor.
Amen.
I'm still working on Xavier, working on his brother. And I'm working on his cousin. I'm working on all three of them. They live right next door to me. I'm talking to them all the time. I'm going to try to win them to Christ sooner than later. Wow, I don't know how much time he's got. One of the things that we're going to implement in the new year is neighborhood door knocking. Amen. I'm going to spend one of those days when I go over there and say, can I come into your house? Why don't you come into my house? I probably better go into his house because, but amen. One of these times, amen, I'm going to knock on that door and say, can I sit down with you? I said, we've talked about much about the Bible. I've talked to you about this and shown you this, told you about being a sinner, told you all that, but you've never given me a chance to open my Bible. Can I sit down and open the Bible with you? I was just talking to a guy not too long ago, and me and Pastor White went by and talked to him for a few minutes. I remember that Pastor White said, have you read the tract that I gave you? And the guy said, no, I ain't read that tract yet. I said, well, let me give you another one. He started laughing. I said, let me tell you what's in that tract. Amen. And you know what I told him? I said, I want you to read it because I don't want you to go to hell. And you know what he said? I don't want to go to hell either. I said, Pastor White, that's our open door. We're going to go back. We're going to share the gospel with him. We're going to sit down with him. We're going to open up the Bible. And I pray that he'll get saved. Wait, what am I talking about? I'm working on somebody. Hey, everybody ought to have somebody that you're thinking about, that you're working on, that you're praying for. You're saying, God, I want somebody new to be in here that was not here this year.
Right,
why? There's a real hell still waiting for them.
Oh, yes.
And there was somebody willing to work on you. Amen. Whether it was a mother or father, sister or brother, aunt or an uncle or Sunday school teacher, or somebody who worked on you. What am I saying? If we're not careful, we can get drawn away mentally, physically. We're not here spiritually. We're not thinking about souls, and nobody's getting saved because nobody's going. Amen. Well, that was the beginning of the year. And I said, once you begin going away in your mind and your methods and your mentality, there will only be left a shell of a person sitting in your pew. You're not the person you used to be. You're not the person that was hanging on their seat, on the edge of their seat for the word of God. You're not that person anymore. Why? You've gone away. The sad part about it, many go away and don't even know they're gone. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Some of you go away and you don't even know it. And that's more tragic. Because you still routinely come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And as soon as you get here, you know what you do? You clock out.
Yes, sir.
You clock out. And if the truth be known, and if somebody asks you, what did the pastor say? You wouldn't have a clue. Ooh, preacher, say it ain't so. You know you've been there. You know you've been there. And you say, what did the preacher talk about this morning? The Bible? Well, I hope so. What major character did he talk about? God? Well, I hope so. Give me some specifics. What did he talk about? Sin? Well, I hope so. What was his message topic, at least? The Bible. What book did he come from? It was between Genesis and Revelation, I know that. I'm just being real. Some folks, you talk to them, they don't have a clue what just happened in the last 45 minutes. Why? They clocked out. They didn't open up their Bible. They didn't take any notes. They didn't hear anything. They didn't hear the title. They didn't hear the message. They didn't hear the subject. They didn't hear anything. They're pray for Satan.
Amen.
And they go away.
Amen.
Because when they came through those doors, they didn't prepare themselves to meet and assemble with God. They didn't come in enter right. And so when they got in, they couldn't engage right. And so when they left out, they exited wrong. Just going to be honest with you. Friend, let me tell you something. If you don't come in these doors and enter in right and engage right, you will exit wrong. It's just a fact of the matter. Don't underestimate the devil. He is a very formidable opponent. And he knows what's going to cause you to check out. And he will cause you to go away in your mind because he'll get you to think about that with you. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. By the way, it's the same discipline is utilized when you got to go to the bathroom.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
My children sometimes say, Daddy, I got to go to the potty. I said, you should have thought about that before we came in. Discipline. Now, the little ones, I understand the little ones. Amen. But when they start turning older, 10, unless they got a weak bladder, you're going to sit this one out.
That's right, Pastor Dawson.
Why? They should be disciplined enough.
To
say, I'm going to go and relieve myself, or I'm going to hold it. It's the same type of discipline that comes with our minds and our thinking. I've got to be disciplined enough to know that there's a warfare going on. There's a spiritual battle going on. Satan wants my mind. Mentally, he wants me to get on his trap. He doesn't want me to hear the word of God. He doesn't want me to be here mentally. He doesn't want me to understand. He doesn't want me to have anything spiritual in me at all. He doesn't want it. And it would cause you to check out. My wife will tell you, normally when I come to church, I try to get myself as uncomfortable as I most possibly can. Say, preacher, why? Because I know I'll go to sleep. You're the pastor, and your point is?
Yeah, that's right.
It hurts when I pinch myself, too.
Yes, sir, it does, Pastor, it does.
If I don't get myself in a listening position, and let me tell you what my listening position is not. This is not my listening position. You know what position this is? Relax.
Relaxing.
This is my fall asleep position.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
My wife, you say, honey, why don't you put your arm around me in church? As long as there ain't no preaching going on, I will.
Amen.
But as soon as the preaching starts, my arm comes off of her. In my Bible, I got a pen, and I'm taking notes, and I'm listening. I'm on the edge of my seat. If you ever watch me, most of you watch me, I'm just like this.
Yes, sir.
Why? If I sit any other way and get comfortable, the devil will say, you're getting sleepy. You're getting sleepy. Nice, comfortable pew, padded pew, soft pew, arm around your honey. You're comfortable now. Sleep, nice slumber, and your eyelids start dropping. And then you kind of pop it back up and it drops again. Then you pop it back up and goes down. Then your pen drops out of your hand. You try to pick it up real quick. And then you get the worst of all.
Yes, sir.
The air raid. Say, what's the air raid? And you hope nobody saw you. How can you not miss a bowling ball going like that real quick? How can you not miss something going up like this and drool coming down the side? And then worst of all, if you're a snorer and you start snoring and you say, you wake yourself up from snoring. You say, I hope nobody heard that. Duh. If it was loud enough to wake you up, I guarantee you somebody else heard it. What am I saying? Folks, it's a discipline when you come into the house of God. You're not going to get a blessing by accident. You're not going to keep your mind stage focused on accident. It's going to be on purpose that you come to hear, and on purpose I do what I do. So much so that my son sits that way too. I say, son, sit back. He's like, well, you don't sit back. Well, you're at the dinner table now. You need to sit back. You need to sit for it. Amen. And so when I'm talking about, the first message was one of the most crucial messages because it talked about going away. And how many times did we say that we would not go away? My wife told me about a verse she read this week. I heard about 2 Corinthians. Go over there real quick, because we used that verse earlier on in the year. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, about the casting down the imaginations. And we talked about that verse early on in the year. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, my wife says she was listening to this lady's message. And the lady's message, she gave a good illustration I'm going to share with you this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, notice verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And she used this illustration about casting down, because it's dealing with your mental thoughts and things like that. And your mental thoughts, how many of you have gone through a spider web? What is one of the first things you do when you go through a spider web? You do like this, get it off. And if it's a spider, you kind of do like this. But a spider web, you go like this. And she said it's the same type of logic that's in that verse. We're talking about casting down imagination. You got to take your imagination and throw them down on purpose. You got to throw them down because they will permeate you because they're flesh. And they will sucker you in and squeeze you in and get you to lure in. And if you don't take it on purpose, throw it down like it's a spider web. It's not going anywhere. It's going to stay right there. How many ever try to get a thought out your mind? You know how hard it is to get that out of your mind? You know the easiest way to get a thought out of your mind? Put another thought in your mind. Can I get amen? That's why it says, casting down imaginations. Get rid of that thought. Notice this. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, cast that down. Get rid of that. Notice this. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So in other words, he's saying, change your mind. Change your thinking. Cast that down. Get something good in, and you'll be good to go. But if you don't cast that down, it's going to keep you down. And that's why many go away. They don't get a hold of this thing right here. And when the mind goes, the body goes right after. If it goes on the Spirit of God, the things of God, guess what? It's going to go in that direction. If it goes on carnal things, guess what? Physically, you're going to go in that direction. That's just the way it goes. And so casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Jesus Christ knew that as he's talking with them, if they didn't get a hold of this, they were going to go down. The psalmist said it this way, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119:9. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 139, he says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. So the very first message was one of the most crucial messages of the year. Because as I look around, as you look around, somebody went away in their mind. And then they went away in their methods. And they went away in their mentality. And now they're gone away. I read a quote from Paul Chappell this year about Christmas. He said this, there will always be things to distract us from the path God wants us to walk. We cannot allow anything, even good things, to draw our attention away from God. Amen. We must walk with a firmness of purpose and a singleness of heart. Once you have determined what God would have you do, fix your mind and focus your efforts toward that end. Be like Jesus and walk with a firm and determined purpose in the path God lays before you. He ends by saying this, do not allow the busyness of the season to distract you from living out God's daily purposes for your life. That's good advice. There's a lot of good things that we can do around Christmas time. A lot of busyness we can get involved in Christmas time. But in the busyness and in the involvement, we can miss the Christ of the season. And all that hoopla and all those things, we can miss Christ. We can sing all the Christmas carols we want to and forget about Christ. Devin can put 1,000 songs before the choir, but if your heart's not in it, Jesus still doesn't get the glory. I mean, yes, it's good to sing about Christ. It's good to sing about God. It's good. But if I focus more on the singing and less on the Savior, it does God glory no good. Ms. Dawson says, it's not about those things. It's about the cross. It's about the Savior. It's about Him who died for us. Amen. And in this season, if no other season, if we don't get our minds and our mentality and our methods together, guess what? We'll miss the reason for the season. And everything else will come in and we'll crowd it out. Oh, yes, we'll have fun and we'll eat and we'll do these things and we'll sing great and we'll do all these things. But at the end of the day, did I really do it for Jesus? Did He really get the glory? Did I really magnify His name? Was I really thinking about Him as I was singing? Did I get in that atmosphere of worship and this is just between me and God and people are just getting blessed as a result of me and God and I'm singing to Him, singing about Him because I love Him who loved me. Because that's what the songs are there for. To express someone's heart. So you can sing a song and your heart not be in it. Unsaved people sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And you know what part they sing? They sing the part that says, to save us all from Satan's snare when we were gone astray. Sinners sing that. And they bit more saved than man on the moon. And they sing those lyrics to save us all from Satan's snare when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings. And they sing that. Heart's not in it. So the biggest issue here with these messages is the very first one about going away. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts. See, there be any wicked way of me, lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus challenged the church crowd that they would go away in their minds. They would go away in their methods, go away in their mentality, because they've gone away from him, and that's the same challenge I put out. Will you go away? There will be something that has caused you to go away, not just in this year, but in the year to come. By the way, again, why did I preach that message first? Because that was the premier message. That there'll be something that will try to woo you away. And although you're here Sunday in and Sunday out, you're not here. If somebody would ask you what happened, you wouldn't have a clue. Let me ask you a question. What did I just say? Exactly. See, some of you zoned out already. And you've been zoned out all year. And so you don't really know what I just said. All you heard was, I ain't doing sign language. I'm speaking. And some of you click because your mind went. You weren't engaged. You saw me up here slouched down, and you started saying, boy, that sure looks comfortable. I think I'll try some of that here. This pew is pretty soft here. Wake me if I go to sleep. No. We come in here. We enter to engage in worship. And we exit. And we come here. It should be to worship Almighty God. And when we leave, we should always leave different than when we came in. Challenged about some area of my life. Maybe an area I've been challenged about before. And I just need to shore it up. Hey, the fishermen use their same nets. You know what they do? They wash them out. Use them, cast them right back out there again. They bring them in. They wash them up. They cast the same net back out there again. They don't have new nets. We're not talking about anything new. We're talking about the same thing, because the same things are there that just need to be shored up and washed up and cleaned up. And we branched out. Brother Serge has got a class. Miss Katie's got a class now. The couples have a class now. If you're not careful, you zone out in there. You zone out. I asked Miss Katie, I said, how was the class? She said, pretty good, 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 amen. Nobody went to sleep. I said, I hope not. But you know what? When you go away in your mind, that's what happens. When you come in here, it's not to get comfortable. Beds are for comfort. You say, well, preacher, why'd you give us padded pews? So y'all wouldn't complain that you can't concentrate because the pews are too hard. So you have no excuse. You got a padded pew. You got a padded bottom. Soft on soft. I should be able to sit down, and I should be able to sit up, and I should be able to listen. Amen. But you know what? The devil's real. He knows exactly what to put in your mind so that you don't pay attention to what's here. And casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, he don't want you to bring every thought into captivity in obedience of Christ. He don't want that, because he knows that'll change your life. He knows that'll impact you. He knows that'll change you for the glory of God. He knows souls will be reached. He knows that your mind won't be placid anymore. Your mind will be stirred up to go somewhere and to do something. Your mentality will be changed, and your methods will be changed, and God will be glorified. He knows that. So as a result, he doesn't want any of that to get through. And he glories when you're able to leave and say, I don't remember a thing that was said. But oh, it was good to be in the house of God. And he would give us a big amen. It sure was good to be there, wasn't it? Then a good Christian would come along and say, but what'd you learn? And what you going to apply that you learned? That's what I'm talking about. Because when it's all said and done, the rest of the review is all about this. Everything is about this. And that's why it's so crucial. Because the Beatitudes aren't going to do me any good if I'm not going to listen. The city set on the hill is not going to do me any good if I'm not going to listen. The household view is not going to do me any good. The individual view is not going to do me any good. The world view is not going to do me any good. It's not going to do me any good. No, I'm salt and light if I'm not going to light up my light. It's not going to do me any good if this is not met. Folks, we got to recognize we're engaged in spiritual warfare. The devil wants to put you to sleep when you come through those doors. He wants you to be wide awake when you leave. Just don't stay awake in here. Let your mind wander if you are going to be here, which he knows that if you're not here, you know that's not right. He'll say, let your mind wander. Or let the preacher say something so you can have a purpose to shut your mind off and say, see, it's him. Is it him? Or is it just conviction? Now, if I talk about your shoes, that's him. If I talk about the color dress you wear, that's him. If I talk about your suit, that's him. If I talk about your hair, that's because I don't have any.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
But if I talk about the Bible and about what Satan's trying to do, that's real. That's real. And that's either amen or oh me. What am I saying here? Go back to John chapter 6. We're going to close. John chapter 6, the challenge to the church crowd went out. Jesus looked to the 12 who were the most faithful. And when I made this challenge, I told you I'm not preaching to the ones that are only here sometime. I'm talking about the ones that are here all the time. John chapter 6. Again, verse 66, from that time, many of the disciples went back, walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and that's true. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is true. He is. But Jesus said, I've chosen you 12. One of you is a devil. Letting them know that they would go away. Let me ask you in this final year-end review, did you go away? And you don't have to let me know, because God knows if you did or not. Because if you went away in your mind, you were only here in body, physically. You were not here spiritually. You were in and out, in and out. Some things that rubbed you the wrong way, you said, I don't want that. Certain things that you said, okay, I like that, you took that. But you were in and out. And as a result, your Christian life goes like this. You're on stormy seas. If you went away, your methods changed. You did less praying. You did less witnessing. And you were more content with yourself. And you had less abandonment of yourself if you went away. Your mentality changed toward the lost. And you weren't so concerned about people being lost because you were so consumed about other things. And you could walk right past a lost person, it wouldn't bother you a bit. It wouldn't matter to you if you gave somebody a track or not, because you were so consumed with self and the things going on in your little world. And there was a world going to hell. He said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. And so as we take this review test, let God speak to your heart. Where have you been? And one of the most crucial messages that I set out at the beginning of the year to warn you that you would be on guard. And some of you fell prey to the very thing that I said you would. Because as I said, you can look in front, you can look behind, your right, your left. Look behind, somebody is not where they used to be. Because we go away. Jesus, knowing their heart, asked them the question so they could reflect. I ask you, looking back on the year, have you gone away? And if you did go away, did you come back? Say, preacher, how do you come back the same way the seven churches were encouraged to do in Revelation chapter number 2? Repent and return. Repent and return. He said, you're going in this direction, repent, change your mind, change your heart, change your direction, and return. Jesus said it over and over to the children of Israel, repent and return. If you went away, easy fix, repent and return. And he said, and do the first works, repent and return. I don't know who in here went away in their mind. But I can tell you this, when you go away, it shows in your actions. Because when you go away mentally and then spiritually, you go away physically. Israel did it all the time. It's easy to spot. So you're not fooling anybody. You're definitely not fooling God. Or you can put up a facade. But guess what? It only goes but so long. I encourage you today, if you went away this year anytime, any way, get along with God. Get on your face and say, God, forgive me for going away. The very thing I was warned about in the beginning of January, I fell prey to. Mentally, I wasn't here. And so spiritually, I went away. And that physically, I'm not what I need to be because carnality has taken control of me. And I'm not even thinking straight anymore. Cast down the imaginations. Throw it down. And bring it in to the obedience of Christ. And what would God have you to do? If you're not here today, I invite you to get saved today. Maybe the reason why you went away because you were never here in the first place. You never got saved. And maybe you need to get saved. And that could be a real problem. Maybe you just need to get saved. Say, preacher, I don't know what my problem is. Maybe, just maybe, you didn't get saved. Maybe you have head knowledge but no heart knowledge. Maybe you know the right things to say like Peter, but they don't really mean anything to you. And in your heart of hearts, you can't stand. I don't know where you're at, but wherever you're at, God loves you. Jesus will forgive you if you repent and return. And he'll take you back in. Not one of his disciples did he not take back in and forgive. Even Peter, after he denied Peter, put the coals and the fish there and said, come and dine. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. Recommissioned him after he had fallen away. After Peter went away, he recommissioned Peter and said, Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. If you love me, do it. So I don't care if you went away. God wants you back. Why? He loves you. He died for you. Would you come back to him? Father, thank you for your goodness. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, thank you for the early challenge that was put out at the beginning of the year. And Lord, how we can sit back and review that which you placed before us. God, the reality is there is a battle going on right now for our minds. Satan knows that he can't unsave us. And he knows that at the end of the day, we are going to heaven. But Lord, there is a very real possibility for us to be derailed in our Christian life. There's a real possibility that we can be removed from the things of God. There's a real possibility that we will go away and go in a direction that is not God-honoring or Christ-honoring. And Lord, there's a real possibility, as Peter said, when he said, I go a-fishing. The others said, we also go with thee. There's a real possibility we can take others with us when we go. Lord, it's not so much of a tragedy when we go, but oh God, it's more of a tragedy when we take others with us, as Peter did when they went fishing. But God, I'm so thankful that you recommissioned Peter, bought him back in, gave him a charge. Lord, there are some that went away mentally here, some that went away spiritually here. As a result, bodily and physically, they're not far gone from removing from here. Some are already gone. Lord, I pray for those to return, that you would love them back to your precious bleeding side. For those that have clocked out, Lord, clock them back in. Help them to repent and return. Lord, those that have stood the test of times and stood with the stuff that never went away, Lord, may they continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as they know their labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then the remainder, Lord, help them to find their place at this altar and do business with you the way they need to do business with you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and we're looking around. I'm going to say, preacher, pray for me. There's some things going on in my life that I need to do business with God today, and pray that I can make the right decisions towards Almighty God. Pray for me, preacher. All across the room, preacher, pray for me. Some things going on in my life right now. I need you to pray for me that I can go in the right direction, do the right things. Amen. Amen. Anybody else at all? Raise your hands. Preacher, some things going on. Need to make sure. Amen. You may put them down. Maybe you've gone away. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you took others. Maybe you haven't. God knows your heart. Would you bear your heart before God? Would you bear your soul before him and say, Lord, I've been away. Help me not to go away anymore. Father, bless now this invitation. If there's one that's not saved, save that man, save that boy, save that girl. I pray they would walk the aisle and come to me and say, I need to be saved today. Lord, you would save them before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If God's spoken in your heart, you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and do business with God. Maybe you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Would you not? Would you come? Take my hand and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I guess I want to show you how to get saved today, amen, as the music begins. Would you listen? Jesus paid it all. Maybe you need to come today.
I hear the
man, woman, boy, or girl. Jesus paid it all.
Small, child of
how about it? Did you clock out sometime this year? Would you pray and give it to the Lord? Did you go away in your mind?
Thine all in all.
Spiritually, you were here, but you really weren't here.
Jesus paid
just sat and you listened
all,
with no intention of applying anything. Yes, you assented to that it was good, but you had no real intention of doing anything. Perhaps you went away mentally, spiritually,
it
and one step
and
away from going away physically.
Lord, now
doesn't take much.
The
devil's real. Very powerful.
And thine alone.
But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Would you come? Would you come? Jesus paid it all. Maybe you just need to thank him for paying it all. Being available.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain.
Jesus paid it all. Would you come? Maybe right where you're at, you pray, Lord, help me not to go away. I've managed to stick it out this year. Managed to keep my thoughts intact. I've managed mentally not to go astray. Oh, God, help me. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandment. Lord, keep me straight. Keep me close. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. And he will flee.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white.
One more stanza.
And when
it's crucial to end the year right. Repentant toward God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Crucial to go into that new year.
Jesus died.
Thank God, mentally I want to be here. Spiritually I want to be here. Physically I want to be here. I want to be all in for Christ.
Shall
nothing wavering.
Repeat.
Yes, we believe.
Jesus
we believe.
Paid it all.
Don't let it be words. Let it be more than words. Let it be action.
All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Father, thank you so much for paying it all. Thank you that Jesus did pay it all. Lord, the challenge early in the year was to the church crowd. Jesus specifically spoke to the 12, will ye also go away? Lord, we've been tested this year. We've been tried. We've been tugged at by the wicked one. And he's trying to pull many away mentally. Trying to pull them away spiritually because he knows if he can get them mentally and spiritually, he's got them physically. They will just be a shell of a body that's here operating in the flesh. God, that has never been your desire. Your desire is to be full of the Spirit of God, to be Holy Spirit controlled, to be led by the Spirit, and to walk in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so, God, we are aware of that fact. Lord, as the psalmist said, oh, let us not wander from thy commandments. God, it's so easy to do. We are like sheep. And we're prone to wander. We're easy to go astray, going our own way. But God, help corral us, be the shepherd of our souls. Come back and rescue us. Remind us how much you really love us and how much you really want to use us and how much you paid for us. And God, I pray that we'll never lose sight of the fact that Jesus, you're still the reason for the season. And with all the busyness, we can forget who it's really all about. Lord, help us not to go away in our minds whilst physically still being here, because it's so, so easy to do. That man, that woman, that boy or girl that's still here lost, Lord, speak to that heart. They may get things settled before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for those that boldly and courageously raise their hands, saying some things there that they know they need to shore up. God, give them the willingness, the Holy Spirit's power to right a wrong and to do what you have called them to do, whether easy or hard. May they see and sense your love for them and what you would have them to do. Lord, bring us back tonight with your blessings. In Jesus' name. Pastor